To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hope you got that Christmas music blasting during commercial breaks and you're joining us again. We'll have to get to in the second hour of the program.
Sports talk mixed with some Frank Sinatra during commercial breaks.
I mean, you know, could be worse things to listen to.
That is true. Can I give you one more NFL Factoid Tuesday?
Sure.
Just to add on one more.
Why not?
For a quarterback that you love and think is one of the greatest of all time.
Oh, no.
In the last 36 days, the Pittsburgh Steelers have not completed a downfield pass of more than 20 air yards. In the last 36 days in those
36
throws,
they
are 0 for 13. Now, not all those are Rodgers because he missed, what, a game and a half in there? 0 for 13 with three picks in the last five games combined on passes 20-plus yards in the air.
Drake May completed 6 of 8 passes beyond 10 air yards for 117 yards and a touchdown in Week 13.
One of these is not like the other.
I don't want to derail too much of the start of the second hour. Bill Connolly's going to join us for Connolly's final quarterly.
This is it, man. We're at the end of the year.
It's really sad that college football is winding down, yeah, but also kind of ramping up a little bit.
We're still a long ways away from the national championship.
I know. It feels like it's going
to
be forever.
2 months to go to get there.
I want to ask you very quickly, because I know it didn't matter that the Patriots beat the Giants and won their 10th straight game, but maybe Jaden Daniels keeps you from doing this, although I'd argue his stuff this year is more about injuries than it is regression. This Drake May thing is...
he looks phenomenal, dude. He's playing great football.
It's not that he's just playing great football and that they've won 10 straight. It's like that he's checking off all the elite quarterback boxes,
yes,
right?
He is.
Like, Bo Nix has really good moments and then he's got really stupid moments. And Denver sometimes wins kind of in spite of their offense. That is entirely run by Drake May and what he's able to do.
He's leading the NFL in passing yardage, and he doesn't have a 300-yard game this season.
And he's at 72 completion percentage.
Yeah, he's 72%. Consistent. He's right there, 275 yards a game. He doesn't throw, doesn't put the ball in harm's way. You know, they still want to, they're trying to run. They're trying to run more with young running backs that are starting to show some signs. He's doing it in one of the tougher weather markets as the winter comes.
He's fourth in touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's behind Jared Goff, Dak, and Stafford.
I mean, he's legitimately playing at an MVP level.
I think he's going to win it if he keeps doing this.
Yeah,
if they're the one seed,
they do
and
that.
They win the
if
division,
they go 15-2, 14-3, I don't know.
I think he's going to win it.
Yeah. To the larger...
He's 23.
I mean, it's remarkable what he's doing. I think very similarly to Washington last year, where sometimes young quarterbacks win in the NFL, and you're kind of like, you're just along for the ride. Not that you're bad, but you're just kind of... You're a cog in the machine.
Was like that early
Russell Wilson, early in his career.
Right,
like,
right.
You're good.
No,
I'm not saying you're bad.
By your defense.
The Legion of Boom is helping you out, right? Or Jerome Bettis, did you know he's from Detroit? Is helping you out a little bit here, right? That wasn't the case with Daniels last year. Like, he felt directly linked to everything that Washington was doing. And it feels the same with New England this year. Not that they don't have any other good pieces of their team, but they're not winning in spite of him. They're winning largely because of him. I just have a fundamental philosophy of I need a larger sample size than 1 year before I have the conversation about you being in a certain category. And that's just trying to be fair to him, because I think a lot of times what we do to these young quarterbacks, and I think there's a number of examples in recent years, mm-hmm. where we immediately put them up on a pedestal of they're in the same category as this guy. Mm-hmm. And then the second they don't play at that level, it's, well, what the hell's wrong with that guy? Why isn't he playing at that level? I thought he was top five quarterback. And then that leads to people to kill him, and the expectations are too high. And so I thought Drake May was going to be great coming out of college. He's having an unbelievable year. He's a front runner potentially to win the MVP this year, which, imagine saying that in July, people would have laughed you off of the street. But I want to see a little bit more in terms of one more year. Just continue to do this. He's clearly on the trajectory of being one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Burrow and the Bengals got to the Super Bowl year two, correct?
Year two.
I would say if he reminds me of anybody, it is he's reminding me of Burrow.
Yeah.
Now, you hope he doesn't have the injury luck of Joe Burrow, but he played 13 games year one. It's not like we didn't get any sample size last year.
Oh,
Burrow
for Drake
played
May,
10
yeah.
his first year.
Yeah, he got hurt at the end of his first year. I mean, that's been Burrow's entire career.
But I think, and look, going to Super Bowl is much different than we don't know what the Patriots will do.
We do not.
But I think after year two, we were all kind of ready to say, yeah, the guy we watched win a national championship is indeed the dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he has to get from a bar standpoint, and I hear everything you're saying. It's a reasonable opinion to have. But he played 13 last year. He's played 13 so far. His numbers have gotten better. He's easily taken a big step.
Yep.
And I don't know if I'm with you. I might overreact to the Drake May season.
Go for it, dude. Overreact away, man.
Even though you're making a lot of sense compared to what we've seen in the past.
Look, I was a big bad guy. I'll go dig up some old tweets from Dirt Watching North Carolina football saying this guy's the number one quarterback in the draft class. I've been a big Drake May guy for a long time.
Yeah, I'll give you credit on that. I didn't see this kind of level of play. This is phenomenal. I'd also say final point is cautionary tale, or I guess positive way to look at last night. New England clearly showed the team they played. If you get serious and hire the right offensive-minded coach,
this can change quickly.
You too can have a great quarterback. I think Dart's good now, and he has no good coaching.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Daboll got fired. I don't know who the hell's left over there.
And I'd say Daboll wasn't doing the right things at certain moments. Why he got fired?
Yeah, the only Dart stuff that drives me nuts, and I pulled the audio. We don't need to play it.
It's the runs, right?
It's just like, why are you an idiot?
Taking hits.
Stop being an idiot.
Yeah,
you just got knocked out of a game because of a concussion, and you decide to tiptoe the sideline for 3 more yards, and you get lit up like a Christmas tree. Step out of bounds, dude. Like, use your head from time to time.
Heather Dinich, our good friend at ESPN, thinks that Oregon's going to be 5 tonight.
5 tonight?
So that would, we and Swag went through this, that would probably indicate that A&M falls from 3 to 6.
Yes, they would fall behind Oregon in that scenario.
I don't think they're hopping Tech.
I wouldn't think so.
Washington is better than West Virginia, certainly. Both are unranked.
I think there's a legitimate debate to be had about who has the better resume. I think that's a fair conversation to have, though.
That's fine, but
their win over
committee...
BYU based on rankings would be better than a win that Oregon has. That's fine. I think USC's better than BYU. There's a hot take for you. Oregon also has the better loss. Granted, it was at home, but they lost to an undefeated Indiana team, and Texas Tech's loss was to Arizona State.
I'm going to tell you this because I think what you just said is how they evaluate it.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of hate that we have to debate losses.
It's really stupid.
It sounds
really stupid. Who's got the better loss? Who's got the worse loss?
Yeah, you're like,
hey,
Oregon's
our loss is way better.
I'm like, well, you both lost.
You lost the game, and losses are losses, yes.
She thinks they can be 5. That would mean A&M would fall to 6 in me and Swag's estimation.
Yes, and A&M does not have another game, so in theory, they should remain behind you.
Yeah, and you and I think, agree on the Indiana-Ohio State stays in the top 4 despite the result.
Yep.
And then Georgia's the wild card. If they beat Bama, they're in at the top 4.
I think Georgia's staying in the top 4 automatically, but maybe I'm wrong there. I think Georgia, no matter what happens in the SEC title game, will stay.
If BYU upsets Tech, what happens?
There is going to be an SEC team that gets a first-round bye. They're not going to live in a world where SEC teams don't get a first.
I think it would be Bama, because Bama is the one seed, to your point yesterday, in the SEC.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I think there's a chance that both of them jump. I think Alabama would jump up, and I don't think Georgia. If that is a close competitive game, now Bama drills them, maybe it's a different conversation. But if that's a back-and-forth game, it's a bonus reward game, and they went 11-1 in the SEC, I don't see them punishing them by dropping them.
I think
Oregon sat at home and didn't get the opportunity to play in the Big Ten title game.
There's a lot in the air. A lot of this depends on the result. If Georgia wins, or if Georgia loses, I think Georgia goes to 5, Tech goes to 4, and Oregon would be slotted at 6.
Yeah.
That's how I think it'll shake out.
Maybe. Well, I guess, what do you do with Bama, I guess, in that scenario?
How far does Bama jump? They won the SEC and beat Georgia twice.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But that loss was bad, though, man. That was a pretty bad loss, Florida State.
We got a better loss.
You got a better loss.
Our loss is better than
our
yours.
Our loss is better than your loss, man. Florida State stinks. They can't fire their coach. Tonight is when they start to matter, though, because this is when you'll get the roadmap
of how it's going to shake out.
How the matchups
after.
Will shake out. Yeah. And is Oregon, do they somehow, by a miracle, jump Texas Tech? I don't think so, but they jumped Ole Miss last week. And Ole Miss didn't lose a game. Do they jump Texas A&M? Does Texas A&M fall behind them? Do they stay ahead of Oregon? There's a lot of questions in the air that will dictate, obviously, depending on how the games go this weekend, where you're going to be seated and who you'll be playing, because there's two very different paths. If you're in that 7-8 range, your game is likely against a fill-in-the-blank, Alabama, Texas A&M, like whoever is in that, you know, Texas Tech, if they are to lose a Big 12 title game. But if you're in that 5-6 range, you're likely playing the Group of Six team or the ACC champion or another Group of Six team.
So are you a Bama or Georgia fan this weekend?
I think in theory, you're a Georgia fan, because then Bama can't, because I do have in my head that Georgia and Bama could both end up being ranked ahead of you in the final seeding. Because
Despite
the result of the game. Mm-hmm. If Alabama wins a close game, again, it would not surprise me at all if they say Georgia went 11-1 in the regular season. Their second loss came in a game that Oregon didn't get the opportunity to go play in. They were top four. We're not going to punish them by dropping them outside of the top four or top five. So I think in that theory, it depends on who you want. Do you want a big-name program coming to Autzen Stadium, or do you want to get a, not automatic, but
you
a closely
win.
Guaranteed win? If that's the case, then you're rooting for Georgia to beat Alabama.
You want to win. Like, I get it. We talked about it off the air yesterday with our boss. Like, it's not exciting to say North Texas is coming to Autzen. It's still a home playoff game. You still feel jacked, and you want to win. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. You want to win.
Yeah.
We had some news in the coaching world that involved Oregon yesterday.
We did.
We'll get to that. Bill Connelly coming up at the bottom of the hour. We had audio to get to, coaching audio. Lane Kiffin talked yesterday. Jamarcus Shepherd, they sent out a video of Jamarcus Shepherd. Also, the athletic department did a really funny mistake. I don't think Swag saw this. It was a YouTube mistake. Thank God our YouTubes don't do this, because spelling our names wrong would be a big mistake. But we'll get to that coming up next. Bill Connelly, bottom of the hour, Dirt Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Bill Connelly will hop on here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk some college football with him. Lane Kiffin did his press conference yesterday. One listener tagged me in one of his answers and noted that it's very eerily similar how he is. He seems like he's trying to mimic and masquerade as Nick Saban.
He's following in his career footsteps. You got to go to LSU, win your first national title, and then Kalen DeBoer leaves, and you go to Alabama.
Certainly, I understand that, but like Saban, when he talks and he gets animated, he does a ham thing.
There's mannerisms that happen.
Kiffin was like, it's almost like he looked down at his speech notes and said, "Wave hand like Nick."
Move your
hands. Because it was very weird and unnatural.
Yes, all of it is very, very strange and ugly for the sport.
We also got Jamarcus Sheppard audio, him pumping up the guys. His press conference is today at noon. Ryan Clark will join us at 8:30 today, and it's a Mail Sack Tuesday, so get the Mail Sack questions in. We'll get to it at 9:15 at 503-864-6326. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. Any and all questions are welcome in the Mail Sack. Report finally confirmed yesterday. Will Stein is the new head coach of Kentucky football. 5-year deal. And he will coach out the rest of the Oregon season. He'll pull what they call a Dan Lanning.
Yes, he will.
He will finish the year with Oregon, which I'm assuming was always kind of the deal. I think Lanning, if you told me Lanning had like some kind of an agreement with all these guys of like, I want you to finish the season with me, I wouldn't be shocked. We'll wait to see what Lapoy is going to do. I don't think that's official with Cal. But Will Stein.
He's the front runner. I mean, it sounds like all the intel is he will get that job, but they just haven't officially done it yet.
But they have officially done the Kentucky Will Stein thing. He's a Kentucky guy. He said he grew up going to Kentucky games.
His parents are season ticket holders, evidently.
I know he went to Louisville, but, you know, part
that's
of that's
a weird
scholarship.
One. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Kentucky, I don't know the full backstory if Kentucky didn't give him an offer because he grew up a diehard Kentucky fan. He's from Kentucky. His parents are season ticket holders. I didn't know any of this. I just knew he played at Louisville. And then he ends up going to the in-state rival. That's a massive rivalry in basketball, not quite as much as football because neither program outside of a few years for Louisville hasn't been very relevant, but clearly a coming home moment for him and a very big deal for him.
So you're going to have Will Stein the rest of the season. We'll see where that goes, and then Will Stein is off to Kentucky.
I mean, this was kind of what we talked about the last few weeks, right? Like, his name wasn't popping up a ton, but I kept saying, like, there's dominoes that fall here. Now, I figured it'd be another gig that a coach left. Kentucky looked at Mark Stoops and said, "Dear God, we would love to have somebody who cares about being a football coach again." Now, his buyout, the funny story on that was his buyout's like $30-something million, and it was due in the first 60 days. He didn't want to coach anymore so badly that they went to him and were like, "Can we please spread this buyout out?" And he was like, "Hell yeah, dude, I'm out of here. I don't want to do this anymore." He's totally signed off on it, and they said, "Sweet, we'll stretch out this 30. We'll give you the Nicholson stretch provision here to extend this over 10 years.
Isn't he the same guy that said Kentucky's a football school now?
I'm pretty sure he did a
and
couple
Calipari's
years ago.
And Calipari's like, "Excuse me?
Yeah, what? Say that again?" Look, I'm thrilled for Will Stein, man. I think he is a brilliant up-and-coming offensive mind. I think the job that he's done over the last 3 years to take Bo Nix to a point where he's a Heisman finalist, and then last year the undefeated season, and the offense outside of the clunky first two games was awesome all year until the very last game of the year. And I've maintained this year, like, look, I think coordinators, especially offensive coordinators, are some of the most criticized people in sports because we have the ability, after every decision they make, of hindsight. If they throw the ball and it doesn't work, we yell, "Why aren't you running the football?" And if they run the ball and it doesn't work, we say, "Why aren't you throwing the football?" But if it works, nobody says anything. It's the epitome of a hindsight reaction industry when it comes to coordinators and play calling. When I look at a team, and I go back to the conversations we were having in August about they have one returning starting offensive lineman. They have lost all of their top wide receivers, and your number one wide receiver is likely out for the year with a torn patellar tendon. Terrence Ferguson is one of the best tight ends in the history of your program. You lost your top running back, your starting quarterback.
Did that come out, by the way, the DeCorian thing? Is that what you're saying?
No. I said Evan Stewart at the start of the year. I'm saying the conversation we're having in August about what the offense was going to be and how is wide receiver going to be a limitation.
You're breaking some news.
I'm not breaking any news on that. I hope he plays in the college football playoff. But I'm just saying that's what we were saying in August. And Oregon's offense found a way in different ways, despite injuries piling up as the season went on, to go 11-1 and win different games in different styles. And so I think this is the best year that he's had as the offensive coordinator there. And I remember the day that Dan Lanning was hired and the reaction to it. One of the biggest concerns that I had about him, because it was a defensive coach, and Oregon has not hired defensive head coaches in a long time. The entirety of their modern run has been through offensive-minded head coaches. So he was a yin and a yang to what we were used to in Eugene, Oregon. The biggest concern I had, and you see this a lot with defensive coaches, look at Jimmy Lake and the OC hire he made, is you're really relying on making good hires at offensive coordinator. That is job number one that you have to do outside of recruiting and finding talent and all that. Who the hell is your offensive coordinator going to be? He hired Kenny Dillingham. Everybody criticized it. He took a Power 4 head coaching job after 1 year. And then the second offensive coordinator he has hired is now taking a Power 4 head coaching job. I think it's a great sign for what Lanning has been able to do, and I think it's a great sign for the direction of the program that people want pieces of your team to try and take to their team, and I couldn't be more happy for Will Stein.
They're not the same, but they're similar in the sense of how we talked about Oregon State. Like, if Shepard's going to be great and he's gone in 3 years because he's so great,
it's great. That's fine.
That means your program has grown in the right direction. I know that's a much different situation, losing a coach versus a coordinator. I find interesting now because I don't, you know, we'll wait to see what Will Stein's going to be as a coach. I have no idea. Seems like a good dude. By the way, the point you made on the offense, you said this is his best year offensively. I've heard other coaches just within our little bubble that have basically echoed the same. Like, yeah, he's 100% right. It is. The creativity he's had to bring, the way he's had to dial up plays at certain moments. Like, there's a lot of people out there watching the game that have really good football eyes that are also agreeing with your take of, like, this is the best year he's ever had as an OC, despite having the Bo Nix season.
Some of the numbers in other years have been better, but, like, dude, they've had games with three offensive linemen down, 100%. Your running backs are down, your wide receivers are down, and they're still finding ways to win.
I do wonder now, because, well, you're going to go through this every few years, it seems like, at this rate.
It's a good problem to have.
And there's just kind of, I think, a blind faith that he's going to hire the right guy in Dan Lanning, but also, is there any level of, like, you're never going to bet 100% in everything you do.
Sure.
And now it's like, who do you go get? And everybody's doing the rumor mill stuff, and Chip Kelly's name gets brought back to the
Chip
forefront.
Chip Kelly will not be the next offensive coordinator.
I don't believe Chip Kelly will ever be in Eugene again.
I mean, if he wants to come back as, like, one of those, you know, the, what were the coaches under the Saban? The
senior.
Just come hang out.
Analyst.
We'll pay you $40,000. You don't need the money, and you just coach quarterback, whatever. Like, he could do something like that, but he's not going to be the offensive coordinator.
Right. And so now it's just a matter of, like, where you go with this, because Will Stein was a name we heard at the end of the search. A lot of us didn't know that name at the start of the search.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you would assume Lanning is not going to be unprepared for these things to happen. Lanning probably knew, if we have a good year and the year I want to have, this dude's going to get taken. So you'd imagine he and everybody within his staff, the general manager, have been slowly monitoring and watching all the offensive minds on all the games and kind of keeping track of who runs similar systems. Because you don't know if Dante's going to come back.
No.
If Dante does come back, you don't want to have to change it up too much, right? That was the whole from Dillingham to Stein thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar kind of schemes and thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to go back to running a 1984 offense. It's a modern college offense that will stay very similar.
Well, I'd argue college football is becoming very universal in the offenses that they run anyway.
Yeah.
How many offenses are truly that different?
Right. A lot of them are similar. You're multiple, some under center, some mostly shotgun. Yeah. Like, it's balance, you know, downhill. A lot of the schemes and the mentality won't change. I think the first question I have in the short term, well, the first question I had yesterday when I found out was making sure he's coaching through the playoffs. I think if you're a competitor, that's just a natural thing. Like, we'll get to this with Jamarcus Shepard today. It's a little different for a wide receiver coach because you're not calling plays. I'm not saying his job isn't important, but you're not the guy that's calling, hey, 3rd and 7 with the game on the line. You're the one that's making the call here.
And I believe he is done at Bama.
I think he's still hanging out this week.
I think for the SEC title game, but
then
he's
done.
Yeah.
I believe that, but we'll ask Clark if he has any more intel on that. They're a little bit different for coordinators, and I think for Lanning, who did it at Georgia, won a national title while balancing both roles, that was an important thing for him. And if you're, again, a competitor in Will Stein, you want to continue to do that. The next question I have is, who goes with him? Who on the staff does he take with him? Because there will be guys that follow. Does he make one of their position coaches an offensive coordinator? Right? Does he give somebody that mantle and label?
Does he just elevate somebody and not have to go outside?
Well, I'm saying for Stein, too.
Who's going?
But absolutely, that's a case for Oregon. I wouldn't be shocked at all. The first name that I also thought of is Austin Novosad will be a Kentucky Wildcat next year if Dante Moore especially comes back for another season. He's likely going to follow him, which he was his guy originally. Don't blame him at all for taking that job. Look, there's a number of outside names you're going to hear from. The North Texas offensive coordinator is getting bantied about. The West Virginia offensive coordinator has a background with Dan Lanning, or not West Virginia, excuse me, Georgia Tech. They coached together at Georgia.
Mm.
The in-house guy that I got my eye on and circled is Rashad Samples. He's the running back coach that they hired when Lachlan left for Ohio State. Dynamic recruiter, super young guy. I don't know what his chops are calling plays in that regard and having a scheme and everything, but he is beloved inside that room and viewed as one of the next up-and-coming coaches on their staff. So be curious to see where they go, but you're never going to bat 1,000. I think based on the level of
acquiring talent. It's always going to be a very desirable job. Oregon has the resources to pay north of $1 million, and I'm excited to see where it goes. A very good problem to have that we're not talking about firing coordinators. We're talking about coordinators getting Power Four head coaching jobs.
5-year deal for Will Stein at Kentucky. We wait on Taj Lepoy. As Dirt mentioned, he is the pretty big favorite to land the Cal job. We haven't heard anything confirmed on that other than the rumor mill stuff of that's where they're kind of keeping their attention. So if that breaks or it comes across, we'll talk about it when that happens. We have a lot more to get into. Coming up next, Bill Connelly, ESPN.com, joins us for Connelly's Final Quarterly. Daily Ticker, next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Gosh, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague, brought to you by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa. Cascadian Dark Ale, slay your thirst with each sip of the Northwest's favorite seasonal beer now at your local grocer's. Bad Santa, hello.
Ho, ho, ho. I taught the little guy how to say ho, ho, ho. We're having a lot of fun with that.
How's that going?
What's Santa say? Ho, ho, ho. Very cute. Very delightful.
Ah, kids, man. When they're that young,
they're the best.
Anything they can say with their little voices is adorable. Our final Connelly's Quarterly. It's it. This is it.
This is the final run.
Regular season's over.
Fourth quarter.
It's conference title game.
Hold
weekend.
Up your fours, everybody.
Fours are up.
Crunch
Bill.
Time.
Bill, hold up your fours. You got your four up?
Sure. We'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah, all right. We'll pretend you're doing it. Yeah. You play the game with us. You know, I don't have any fun on a Tuesday. God forbid. I'll give you a take here. We got a lot to get into, and thank you for hopping on with us. We have appreciated Connelly's Quarterly. It's been a fun addition to the show this year. Big fan of you. We go all the way back to your SB Nation days, buddy. Nobody brings that up but us.
Yeah.
So I read your latest piece, your college football prediction and rankings, and I'm like, dude, this guy's so good. Oh my God, he's so smart. Ohio State versus the field? This guy's an idiot. I mean, I hear everything you're saying. My take is I don't think Ohio State's getting to the title game, and I understand everything you're going to give me is numbers-based, which is evidence and actual facts versus my feelings and opinions. But other than the Michigan game, I don't know how tested they've truly been. And I think a lot of these teams are very, very close in talent with the portal additions. And so I'm going to go on a limb and say Ohio State will not get to the title game, but you're kind of leaning. It feels like you think it's kind of Ohio State and the field. Not that they'll win it for sure, but it's Ohio State, and then we'll see what happens with the collective.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 12-team playoff. It's a legit tournament, and so you can't really be incredibly confident saying one team's going to win it. So we'll start there. Granted, I mean, Ohio State, it's one quarter into last year's playoff, it was kind of like, okay, well, they're winning it. They're in. But, if it's not an Ohio State versus the field thing, which was probably an exaggeration, it does. I struggle with anybody else being the favorite, at the very least, just because – man, it just felt like they're in third gear the entire year. They rarely had to absolutely hit the throttle. And then you look up and in their last 11 games, they've won by 70, 28, 18, 39, 18, 34. Like they just haven't been tested. And part of that's because they haven't allowed anybody to test them. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing with Ohio State is we don't know. Like Julian Sayin facing like Texas Tech's pass rush for a full 60 minutes. If Tech's offense is able to score enough, like we don't know those high pressure situations, getting hit a lot, having to score in the fourth quarter. It's not that they can't do that. We just don't know that they can because we haven't seen it. So there is that. That's absolutely a reason to doubt them is, you know, it's probably good to have at least had to sweat a little bit. But man, I just after seeing what they did last year, shifting into fifth gear in mid-December, felt like the entire year this year was, don't worry about it. We're going to do enough, and then we're going to shift into gear in mid-December. And if they do, that's terrifying.
Do you have a Venmo, Bill?
I do, but I don't know. Like, I guess it would benefit me to share it on air.
Don't share it on air. I'll text you. Let's make a sandwich bet. I don't think they get to the title game.
Ooh.
I think they're going to get beat prior to. Would you take the sandwich bet? Just a sandwich bet. Your local deli.
I guess, but also I hope you're right. Because it'd be a lot more fun if you were right.
Okay, all right, there we go.
Yeah, back-to-back champs are always a little boring. Give me some fresh blood. Like, on that note, Bill, I'm curious where you're at on Oregon, where they incredibly banged up on offense the last handful of weeks. We all circled November and said, man, this is going to be a gauntlet. Can they survive? You got to go to Iowa. You got to play USC at home. No offense to Minnesota. I know that they were in there, too. And then you got to go to Seattle at the end of the year. And they're finding ways to win in different ways. And I don't want to sit on a fence, but like part of me sees them being able to beat everybody in the field while also simultaneously losing potentially to 9 of the 12 teams. Cause they're good, but have they shown their fastball? There's just a lot of questions on Oregon going in. Where are you at on the Ducks now that they've punched their ticket?
Well, I don't really have I do kind of feel the same doubt about the offense. And I don't completely know why, like they're higher ranked on offense in terms of like points per drive. They're 8th on offense, 10th on defense, yards per play. They're in the top 10. They don't have a good reason. But it does feel like, you know, they're not as good as other teams when it comes to like passing downs. They stay on schedule better than just about anybody in the country. They're not as good as other teams on like 3rd and 7. So maybe that backfires, but I think you're right. They're right in the middle. They're 4th in SP plus. If I were to do my own little power ranking, they'd be like 5th or 6th at absolute worst, which puts you right in the middle. You can beat number 1 and you can lose to number 10. And it's going to be interesting. Obviously, you know, if they learn something from last year, I don't know what you can learn from last year. They got run over by a smoking hot team. But if that helps them come out of the gate firing a little better this year in any way, then that can only benefit them too. So, I love the more I think about it, the more I love the number 12 as the playoff. And part of the reason is you've got 4, 5, 6 teams there that could absolutely bow out of the first round or win the title.
Bill Conley's joining us. ESPN.com, his latest piece, the Week 14 recap. He dives into the college football playoff preview, conference title games, favorites. He dives into all of it. He's really good. The godfather of the SP Plus, our very good friend Bill Conley on Twitter at ESPN_BillC for Conley's final quarterly conference championship weekend here, and I think everybody that wants to have you on a radio program is going to go, who do you got, Georgia or Bama, Bill? And I want to go, should the ACC have railroaded their own metrics to put Miami in so they wouldn't be sitting in with a stupid 7-5 Duke team in the title game?
Oh, I love that they did, though. This is my favorite. My two favorite scenarios for this weekend is Duke wins and like UNLV gets into the playoff, and Alabama loses and BYU wins, and they have to figure out, do we actually punish Bama or do we screw Notre Dame instead? Number one, I do think, you know, everybody had to come up with these outlandish tiebreakers all of a sudden without like any sort of track record to call on. And every single conference, of course, because this is college football, every single conference did it differently and didn't talk to anybody else with what they were doing. But I do think the lesson we've learned over these last few weeks is, okay, use head-to-head if you can, common opponents, sure, and after that, just go straight to the CFP ranking. Because that was where ACC screwed up. If Duke got in because of their opponent's conference, average conference record, like they were trying to throw a strength of schedule thing into it, when nobody plays each other, then that doesn't even really matter. So I assume it's a pretty easy fix to just go with, as like the third tiebreaker for everybody, go with straight ranking. And if you're like the Conference USA and you don't have a team in the ranking, then just go to, you know, AP poll votes or computer average or whatever pretty quickly, because otherwise you're just not determining who was better anymore. And, but like I said, their loss is our gain. We could get somebody absolutely hilarious into the playoff now, and I enjoy it.
Dan Mullen making a playoff in year 1 at UNLV would be hilarious. They might even be coming to Eugene, Oregon. We'll see how it all shakes out. I'm curious to ask you, Bill, like, last year it felt even it lost a little bit of its importance, and this year it feels like it's even more so, and that is conference championship weekend. Because last year, at least, you had the top 4 seeds were going to go to conference championship teams. Now my team ended up getting railroaded by that because we had to play Ohio State in our first game. Now I don't know about you, Ohio State, Indiana, the loser of that game is still going to be in the top 4. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia loses again. They stay in the top 4 and they just put Bama in the top 4 as well. Like, there's not going to be a big punishment there. So while on one hand I'm excited about watching good teams play, we didn't see Indiana and Ohio State play, I'm fascinated to see how the game shakes out. It doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things. I'm curious to ask you, 1, do you feel the same way about this weekend? And 2, if you do, How would you want it reimagined? What is a way to spruce this back up to make it be a weekend where it seems like, and I don't want to do that for every conference because Big 12, BYU could get in, and to our point, the ACC could blow the entire sport up if Duke finds a way to win. But it does seem like this weekend has lost its luster in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, for two conferences specifically, obviously. Everybody else, it still matters. BYU could absolutely clinch a spot. And so that all, for seven conferences this weekend still matters. But for the Big Ten and SEC, and they legislated it themselves. I used to complain all the time about the BCS, how, like, if we didn't like the result, we changed how the computer part of it. We changed everything to fit what just happened, and we screwed something else up, and we didn't just let it play out over a number of years. 1 year of the 12-team playoff, and we changed a big portion of it. And it meant that the Big Ten championship game went from meaning a little something like a bye to nothing at all. And that stinks. Like, just stop tweaking things after the tiny sample. Of course, I just told everybody to tweak their tiebreakers, so whatever. What's funny is, like, obviously, you know, any injuries that come from this, like Carson Beck last year, that's going to be the number one thing coming from the Big Ten and SEC title games. But for the Big Ten championship especially, what I've learned over the years is, like, these games that mean something but also don't mean everything are usually the most fun because teams are going to play a little looser. And so it's going to be two awesome teams playing pretty loose ball, knowing they can be aggressive, because if they lose, it's not the end of the world. Should be entertaining at the very least, and it should be a good data point for Indiana, just knowing, okay, here's where we stand with the behemoth that we couldn't beat last year, and now we get another chance. But it's almost like a mulligan for them. It'll be useful in that way. But yeah, I mean, if Fernando Mendoza gets hurt or something, that's going to be the only thing that goes away from it. As far as fixes go, I mean, the best thing I can come up with is, the thing that I rail against the Big Ten all the time because I hate most of what they do or propose as far as playoffs go and everything. But in 2020, in the COVID season, one of the only good things that came from any of that was the Big Ten's idea of basically creating that last weekend's pairings based on standings and having everybody play an extra game. That's kind of what they, I guess, wanted to do with the play-in thing. I hate the idea of a play-in, but basically creating that ninth game as championship weekend, having your title game, having Ohio State and Indiana play, pairing everybody else off, trying to, you know, give them another data point, but making sure that the top two teams aren't punished by having to play a 13th game. That's the best I can do. It feels like that'd be a way to kind of keep the championships, but not make it seem like a punishment, because it kind of almost seems like a punishment right now.
Well, we're super against it. I won't be able to ask you if you've ever pretended to have a dog to be likable in any aspect of your life. So I won't ask you that question. I will ask you, Jamarcus Shepherd got hired by Oregon State, wide receiver coach from Bama. They released a video, a motivating video and everything. People pretty high on the hire. I'm just curious, do you have any thoughts on Oregon State going Jamarcus Shepherd?
I mean, energy, experience in the Northwest, like that combination, I think was a good one. Obviously, you know, when everybody else is hiring like actual experienced head coaches that I can react to a better sample size, you know, I'm going to have stronger opinions about those. And this one, it's kind of, you know, it's hard to form a strong opinion. But yeah, I mean, he certainly checks boxes. Only the people who interviewed him know how ready he is to be a head coach, and I guess even they don't know. We're going to find out. But it at least makes sense. All I want from the coaching carousel is logic, and I can follow the logic here. The only one I can't follow the logic with is Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State, but that's another story entirely. but there's logic, and that's really, now if he can scare up fundraising and recruit well, relatively speaking, then, you know, maybe it'll turn out well.
So you would have had more of an opinion if it was Paul Christ.
Yes, I would have absolutely had or Pat Fitzgerald. I would have had a strong opinion about that one.
The chuckle there on Christ, is that I think it's better to take a swing, or like, is that a different kind of chuckle?
I think we've found since Paul Christ left Wisconsin that he could have been a lot worse. But in that, if those were my two options, I would have probably gone with Shepherd.
Okay, there we go. Good stuff. Bill Connerly, so kind this year with four stops throughout the college football season. We call it Connerly's Quarterly. We had a lot of fun doing it. Thank you so much, Bill, for hopping on. Great stuff on the Week 14 recap, and we'll catch up with you hopefully throughout the playoff.
Sounds good.
All right, there we go. Bill Connerly, ESPN.com for our Connerly's Quarterly, our final one of the regular season.
There you go. Good
stuff. Cannot believe it. It's already over.
It is. That is today's Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the Beach online at pelicanbrewing.com. Lane Kiffin Audio, Jamarcus Shepherd Audio, Ryan Clark of the Oregonian, Mail Sack. We got a lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We mentioned, yes, earlier in the show, in the first hour of the program, Abdul Carter reportedly was suspended for a drive for watching porn in a meeting. He denies this allegation, but that was the report. And I would basically say the equivalent of that just happened during the commercial break, except Dirt's porn is Ducks versus Them. And so he's rewinding and rewatching Dan Lanning go, "Are you ready to win a game?" Over and over.
I missed it last night. Over. I was in bed too early. I guess it came out last night. Yeah, I didn't realize it was already out. I got to go watch this bad boy.
We went really long there with Connolly, so this is going to be a Diet Johnson.
Yes.
And so we'll get to Lane Kiffin audio. We got Ryan Clark. We got Jamarcus Shepherd audio. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
So let's get the Mail Sack full. You can put it in the YouTube chat, or you can go and text in at 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. One thing, because we have so much Kiffin audio, it's going to be one of the more all-time bizarre sports-related stories that we found out a coach faked having a dog.
Yeah, that's not his dog. The dog's staying in Oxford, Mississippi. Now, Juice Kiffin is not Lane Kiffin's dog.
This has been confirmed because
yes,
I'm still
by
seeing
multiple people in Oxford that the dog is still there because it's a dog at the university. It's one of those, you know how like the Mariners have their dog or the Seahawks
used the bat dog?
Remember we used to be up there for the Seahawks practice and there'd be the dogs running all over the training facility?
Yes.
It's a team dog. It's a facility dog.
Right, but it's not Lane Juice Kiffin.
Because Lane Kiffin was their head coach, and they thought it was funny to name it Juice Kiffin.
So, but they did pretend it was his dog, didn't they?
They pretended that it was his dog, and he's left his dog behind.
First of all,
that was never actually his dog.
You never leave a dog behind.
You never leave a dog behind.
Second of all, what kind of human being doesn't outright either say, no, this is the university dog? Why would you claim to have a dog if it's not actually your dog?
It's
one of the weirder things I've ever heard.
I would say the kind of guy that is sleazy enough to drag two programs along for about 6 weeks while constantly tweeting cryptic things about wanting to stay in Oxford and home emojis about how he's never going to leave and then bolts for LSU, and then says he prayed to God, but then God told him to poach the rest of his staff and not let them finish the year with their current team. I'd say that kind of guy pretends to have his fake dog.
He also did I don't think we pulled it, he did an Ed Orgeron.
He did.
He said, I got here and I saw everything and I got so excited. And then he tries to do an imitation of Ed Orgeron. It just was not very good.
I rolled down the window. I said, "Go Tigers." How long until he drops a family?
Do you think he looked a little weird?
Yeah, I think he looks really weird. He looks really skinny. It's like uncomfortably skinny for me now.
He just looks like somebody that is
operating. That dude's lost like 200 pounds. It's nuts. Go back and look at pictures of him when he took the Ole Miss job.
Sure.
It is wild how much weight he has lost.
I'm all about the health. I just like the way he looks like a face of somebody that's like in a zombie mode.
Yeah, that he's outside of his own body right now.
Kind of, yeah.
Like he's just a robot going through the motions.
Outside of his own body. That's how I'd put it.
Yeah.
That's how it came across.
I'd imagine his head spinning a little bit right now. But money had nothing to do with this, Brandon.
No, it was
He doesn't even know how much money he's making. He told his agent, don't even tell me.
We also have an update on Penn State, Kalani Sitake. Is Penn State settling for Kalani because of a report that came out from Todd McShay?
Yeah.
That one's kind of dicey. So we'll get to all of that. Ryan Clark in the third hour as well. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.